Here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, it got good. God's good all the time, all the time. God is good. This is a beautiful day. This is a day the Lord has made. The Bible said we could and we should rejoice and be glad therein. And I'm thankful that you're there and I'm able to come into your homes by the means of radio to tell you that if God be for you, there's no power that will ever stand against you. So let's get right into our broadcast today by doing this song here for you.
The more I trust him, the more I love him. Nothing good for me he'll deny. The longer I know him, the better I can show him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. Love is richer. He placed his love down deep in my heart. Great joy in knowing with him I am born, and evermore from him to depart.
Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is richer.
As the days go by. Well, I'm so thankful you're tuned my way this morning. I want to remember Ed and Mary Jo Ballinger. Good to hear from those folks. Glad they're doing well. And then also want to remember Ann and Carol Cole. I appreciate these two fine people who are faithful listeners to ours. And then I want to remember Ruby Dixon. Good to hear from Ruby this week. I was wondering about you last week, Ruby, and then you up and sent me an offering this week and a card, and I appreciate that. And I am praying for you, okay? You take care now, all right? All right, let's get right into another song here, and I want to do this one for you. And I hope you enjoy this one also. This one says, heaven is real.
I have heard of a land, a life beyond this life we know, whose beauty and splendor and its walls and its streets are pure gold. Though my eyes cannot see and my hands cannot touch it and feel, I plan to go there, for I know heaven is real. is a place that's prepared for the pure and the free. And how my heart thrills just to know heaven is real. Some say I can't go, streets and the city's not gold, and that my glorious mansion by is only a humble abode. Oh, I still want to go, for that's where my soul longs to be. For my Savior is there, and that makes it heaven for me. Yes, heaven is real. It's as real as the air I breathe. Heaven is real. Oh, the Bible says, and I
yes, sir, heaven is real. A man said to me here a while back, he said, what if heaven is not real? Well, I said, if heaven's not real, then I haven't missed a thing, because thank God I've lived a good life, and God's took care of me in this life, and he's prepared a home for me in the other life. So I'm glad for that. And if it isn't real, well, you'll be lost without God. But if it is real, we want to make heaven our home. Well, I want to remember Mr. Richmond in this next recitation. He said he liked my recitations. Works down at the Vance store. Talked with him the other day, and I hope that he's listening this morning, enjoying the broadcast. And I'm going to do this recitation for him. And he said he liked my recitations. I'm going to have to get him some of those. And this one said, me, Pat, and mother. When I was just a little tyke, I was set at the table between my pap and my mother. Pap, well, he would feed me on one side, and on the other, my mother. Oh, we were old chums back then, pap, me and mother. On Sunday, we would take a walk through the woods and across the pastures. Pap, he always carried his old cane, while mother and I would pick at the daisies in the lane. Sometime my older sister was along, and other times it was just Pap, me and mother. Pap, it seemed, as we would walk along, he would have his head down. He was thinking and couldn't hear me or mother. Well, the old cowbell would be clinging, and the long lines in his face seemed to tell that he was worried about one thing or another. We did not understand, me, sis, nor mother. I grew up and I went away. I left the old farm. Just thinking about that day still brings a choke to me. Now, it would have been all right living with my older brother, but I just never could forget leaving the old farm, Pap, and my mother. I went back one day and I found Pap all pale and hollow. Saw right off he'd soon be going where none of us could follow. The long streaks of his face showed just how he loved each other. And we would have to talk real fast to hold back the tears, for his eyes were saying just how much he hated to leave me, sis, and mother. Well, Pap went on, but mother's still living. But soon she will too, I reckon. She tells me sometime she just can't seem to see Pap as he's standing there with his hand beckoning. Life ain't long, and I'll go myself one day or another. But then we'll all be back together, me, Pap, and mother. Well, the pretty hill, the new roads to walk, and just to sit down at the river of life and never more to worry. We'll hear the great choirs of heaven singing, me, Pap, and Mother. And Gab, well, we'll play, and Gabriel's trumpet will sound. The beautiful birds will sing to one another. And there we will never more part, no more. Me, Pap, Sis, and Mother. Well, Mr. Richmond, hope you enjoyed that song. That's a beautiful recitation. Me, Pap, and Mother. You don't enjoy listening to them no more than I enjoy doing them. I love to do recitations. And if you have a recitation you'd like me to do for you, you just drop it to me and let me know what it is, and I'll be more than glad to do it, because I love recitations. I think they got a great meaning to them, and I love to do them. So, Mr. Richmond, I hope you enjoyed that. I appreciate you. He helped me to get the computer and helped me get it going back for you. So we got a lot to be thankful for. Thank you very much.
The waters are smooth and the sailing seems so easy, but things haven't always been this way. For I've seen the billows roll, and it brings the storms to my soul. But Jesus always been my stay. I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion, to that homeland of the soul. Friends and loved ones waiting just to welcome me under. I'm sailing to my heavenly home. My trip has been a good one, but I know I must be nearing the shore. I can almost see the lights from the mansion so bright, and Jesus is standing at the door. I'm sailing away on the old ship of Zion, sailing to that homeland of the soul. Friends and loved ones waiting just to welcome me yonder. I'm sailing to my heavenly home. Well, I'm sailing away on the.
Do you realize you're living on borrowed time? Well, let's preach a little sermon on that. I'm living on borrowed time.
Chapter 6, verse 5. As he was filling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Master, for it was borrowed. I see the excitement in this man's life. He wanted to be so involved that when Elisha spoke to the prophets and said, this place is too small, we need to build a larger place. I suppose in the Bible this would be the very first time that you would find people building a divinity school, because Elisha was going to teach the prophets who would go throughout the land and teach about God. But this one person wanted to be involved. And you know, today, if we had people like that really wanted to be involved, It seemed like no one wants to do anything today. I preached a sermon not long ago called I Don't Do Windows. And I spoke about how Moses said, no, I don't do deserts anymore. And how that if Jesus said, no, I don't do crosses anymore, then we not be where we are today. But you see, there's got to be some involvement. People need to get more dedicated to God. People need not only to see visions, have visions, but people need to do their vision. John Wesley said, stay with something until you learn it. So he goes out, he borrows an axe from maybe a friend or a neighbor. But while he is working on this project, all of a sudden, the Bible said the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Master, it was borrowed. You see, we can turn our tragedies into victory. But the way to victory is to admit and to know that we have a problem. And you know, that's one of the hard things for us to face today. People know there's something wrong in their life. People realize that they're not getting anywhere where they want to go. And I like to make the statement, if you're going to go places you've never been, then you're going to have to do things that you've never done before. But this man had lost a thing that he had to work with. And he realized that he had to admit that he had a problem. George Washington once made the statement that 99% of our trouble comes from people who make excuses. Those who want to blame someone else. Does that sound familiar? In the New Testament, you remember that many said, well, I bought a piece of land. I must go and see it. I bought some ox, and I must go and prove them. I've taken a wife, so therefore I cannot come. Many excuses are made today for the reason that we're not doing the things that we're doing. And sure enough, tragedy comes. Tragedy can be solved with victory when we admit that we have a problem. It's not the problem, but it is how that we respond to it. This young man had a problem. He had lost his axe head. How is he going to respond? He's going to ask for help. You see, we sometimes don't realize that we need to ask for help. A man was along the side of the road. He'd had a flat. And he was so disgusted and so angry. A man pulls up and says, sir, do you need some help? He had no jack. He had no spare tire. But he was so disgusted and so aggravated that he said to the man, no, I can handle my own situation. The man drove off. And all of a sudden, the man realized, hey, what have I done? What have I said? But you see, in our frustration sometime, we cannot correct a problem because we do not admit the problem. A lot of our problems are homemade trouble. A lot of our troubles are homemade trouble. We don't have any trouble, but somehow or another, we start making troubles for ourselves. And Jonah didn't have any problem. If Jonah had only obeyed God and gone on and doing what God told him to do, he would have never had a problem. But Jonah had a long, hard journey to get to Nineveh. God simply said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Cry again the wickedness of the city. But Jonah, the Bible said, rose to flee in another direction. And a lot of times we're the same way. We cannot really blame Jonah because we have done the very same thing. God has asked us to do a very simple thing. Obedience is much better than sacrifice, to obey God. And today, the obedience that you and I must do can carry a great sacrifice. The great sacrifice is, first of all, to admit that we have a problem. We need to go back to where the problem began. We need to simply ask for help. Help me, Lord. And you know, God is right there. In Peter, when he was sinking, as I've already spoke on before, he was sinking deep into the water because he had gotten his eyes off of Jesus. He cries out for help. And Jesus stretched forth his hand, and Peter never sunk. And by the way, they did get back to the boat. But Peter had to ask for help. And you know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. I know that I get criticized sometime because how many times in a service that you will hear someone say, have you got an unspoken prayer request? Now, I know that all prayer requests cannot be spoken. Some things should not be talked about. Simply pray about them. But a lot of times we do not receive our prayer request simply because we haven't spoken. We need to speak these things into our faith. We need to speak these things to our children that are unsaved. Mention their name before the throne room of God. Call their name before God. You see, you have a right sometime to make a mistake. A man goes into a restaurant. He's sitting there. He's getting ready to eat his breakfast. And a little boy sitting across, he spilled his milk. And his mama and his daddy, they spanked his hands. They scolded him because he spilled his milk. And the man sitting there at the opposite table, he felt so much sorrow for that young man because he was weeping bitterly because they had scolded him. He had spilled his milk. He reached over in an accidental way and knocked over his glass of water. And the family turned and they looked at him and he said, "Oh, I just made a terrible mistake." So you see, sir, you have a right to make a mistake. Every one of us at one time or another will make a mistake. And the way to solve our problems is simply ask for help. We need to go to the cross. You see, the handle is there, the cross of Jesus Christ. We need to apply the word to our problem. We need to apply the word to our situation. The Bible says, "For by his stripes you are healed." The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself that any should boast, but it is freely the gift of God." The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Go to the scripture, sir. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe you also in me, for in my Father's house there are many mansions." Go to the psalmist David in Psalms 23. "The Lord, he is my shepherd, I shall not want." Go to Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning God." Go to Hebrews chapter 11. And the Bible said, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." We must grasp a hold of the Word of God. Go to John, little John. And the Bible said, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin." Anywhere you go in the Scripture, you will find strength and find power. Go to Acts chapter 2. They were in one place, in one mind, in one accord. It was the day of Pentecost. And then the Holy Ghost came, and all that were in the house were filled as they began to speak with other tongues. As the Holy Ghost, by the evidence of fire, set upon them the purification of God. Go all through the Bible in Acts 1 and 8. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The Word of God is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword. We must be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's Word is able to do that above that we ever expected of Him. Because if God be for you, there is no power that can stand against you. You see, the handle is there at the cross. Go to the cross, sir. Find the cross real in your life. Because without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin.
Great of a city, John saw coming down from God. The streets of pure gold. He tells of a pure river of light that flows from the throne. And when we have reached that beautiful place, we're known as we're known. Let's be by the river over on that beautiful shore. Wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river, over on that beautiful shore. If you leave me standing here on this earth, just wait by the river. such a good place for us to be over there. And after I find you, let's go see Jesus. Then let's go find our dad and mother. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river over on that beautiful shore. Let's meet by the river where loved ones dwell who've gone on before. If you leave here first, just wait by the river. If I leave you here, that's where you'll find me. Let's meet by the river.
Our fathers, we come to the close of broadcast today. We pray that people have made their calling and election sure. There's no doubt about it that we have confessed our sin. You are faithful and just. Forgive us for our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I pray that someone today will get that call right now and they'll say yes to you before it's everlasting too late. Bless the sick. Bless the shut in. God bless those who are shut out from the house of God, and we'll give you praise for all you do in this radio ministry. Well, folks, I'm really glad that you've tuned my way this morning. I hope that we've said something, done something that has moved your heart, and a song or a prayer or the message. I hope that you enjoyed the message. I preach that message called Living on Borrowed Time, and sometimes we don't realize, but days are short. I mean, at the longest, they're very short, so it behooves us to make our plans and preparations, because it's not if we die, it's when we die. And the Bible says it's appointed that the man wants to die, but after death, the judgment. But I'm not going to die. I'm just going to change worlds and keep on living. Please pray for Martha. And I'll be at the Pillar of Truth this morning preaching. And I appreciate Brother Charles going over there for me last Sunday, and I had to go at Red Sulphur. I'll be back at Red Sulphur on the fourth Sunday night, and then I'll preach at the Pillar of Truth. I've taken that church over for Brother Barry, and I remember Brother Barry and Sister Patty in her prayers. Remember all the people today. Well, it's been good to be with you. I trust today that God has richly blessed you through this radio ministry, but be good. Goodbye. Be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.